In this episode, I spoke with Jeremy Scott, the founder and fractional growth marketing director at PostCommerce. Jeremy has scaled companies from zero to $2 million in ARR and driven thousands of in-store visits as a marketer. So today we chatted about strategies for growing a catering business. We talked ad creative and a bunch of other things. So let's dive right into this episode. So let's level set and start with a foundation, kind of get to know who you are. So if you wouldn't mind just giving the bullet points of your career as a marketer and what's kind of led you to this point, and then what you're working on now.
Yeah, so I started over 10 years ago. I actually fell into digital marketing. This was not what I imagined doing. I went to school for recording music, actually, and producing. Been playing music for a while. And, you know, I met a musician here when I moved to Raleigh for school. Turns out he had a design company. And I was like, hey, dude, I can help out. And that turned into 4 years and learned, you know, all the things in digital marketing from, you know, the creative side, writing to the more platform side of, you know, just promoting campaigns for brands. So that's kind of in a nutshell. And, you know, what I'm trying to do right now is grow my fractional agency and really focus on helping the like very new startup CPG brands that are either on Shopify right now or are looking to move to Shopify.
I'd like to dive into this part about music really quickly here, and then we can pivot and get tactical totally. Here. But when you're thinking about looking back, the skill, knowledge, tendencies that you developed from music, how do you see any of that translating into life as a marketer? Has any of that translated and you find yourself still doing like similar things, even though it's drastically different skill sets?
Yeah, absolutely. I think just the creative aspect of it, right? Like I'm a songwriter. So, you know, when you focus on writing songs, you want to have that space to create. And a lot of that for me over the years was just being by myself, not necessarily, you know, practicing with, you know, bands or producers, other people in general that play music, but just having that time to, you know, really develop a creative strategy, which is songwriting. And I translate that into what I've learned in over the years with digital marketing.
So let's dive into the how-to. One of the first experiences or earlier on in your career, I guess, is Donovan's Dish. So let's dive into this. You watch Donovan's Dish go from zero to multi-million dollars in recurring revenue. When you're looking at that team, what you accomplished, what were some of the tactics that you feel were the most crucial to actually growing revenue for that company?
Yeah, I think the most crucial thing was focusing on that locality. Like, hey, we need to get that visibility, that voice out there with their story. I won't dive too deep into their story, but it was situational and it prompted them. So I'll take a step back here. So Donovan's Dish is a catering. That's how they started. When the pandemic hit, they already had a side part of the business, which is delivering prepared meals, mostly frozen. And so, you know, during the pandemic, you know, we had an opportunity and I saw definitely an opportunity to really scale that part of the business. And to be honest, that's really all they had to focus on for a while, right? Because you couldn't go outside. You know, we were in total lockdown here in North Carolina. And so I think that part was, you know, definitely key and helped. But also going back to when it comes to like sharing their story about having a need to, you know, help your family, then, yeah, that was, you know, really what we want to express, in the ads on the website. Hey, like we want to take care of the cooking for you. right? As a generosity, you know, because you're really busy with family. Some unexpected events may have happened in your life recently, which is actually their story. And so when you have that kind of help, it's a story that you can take because it's genuine. And from an advertising perspective, like really, you know, push it out there and lift it up and connect with those people that are similar.
So how did you think about the digital marketing side of this? If it's catering, there's obviously that physical component, physical marketing could happen. And then on the digital side, what were the channels that you were trying to focus on to acquire new customers?
Yeah, so two channels mainly, Google and now Meta, which was Facebook. Google more so for the intent, right? Google is an intent channel where, you know, you and I search on our mobile phone on, you know, what we can get that's close by, you know, any kind of question, for products and things like that. So, really wanted to focus on that intent grounding on a local level and then use Facebook to, you know, kind of back that up. And that's actually where we scaled the business the most, on Facebook and Instagram. Because the reality is when you see something like that, like food, just beautiful pictures of food, you know, or, you know, we did a little bit of video and, you know, gifts and things like that. Just talking about it, right. Talking about that story and then showing that imagery that's, you know, just really pretty and delicious. You know, that just really maximized everything and just totally helped the campaign succeed.
So for that business, what portion of what you were focusing on marketing wise was more digital versus in-person, like physical local marketing?
It's a combination of both. Cause we have the catering business, which, you know, still help focus on. But really just expanding, scaling the dish to door part of their business, right? The prepared meal delivery. Just because, well, for one, we actually did a recent migration from WooCommerce to Shopify to allow that kind of scale, right? Shopify is just a great platform to be able to do that, right? And connect with all your marketing tools. And so, you know, again, a mixture of both, you know, in person and online. They actually have two brick and mortar markets. So that's definitely a focus as well on top of Shopify.
So when you're looking at clients you've worked with now or in the past after that experience or even before, but I'm just curious. So you talked Google, you talked Facebook, very clear foundational ad formats to use. Do you still, I guess, what does the mix look like typically between those two and then newer sources like TikTok shopping ads, for example?
Yeah. Honestly, we haven't explored too much with TikTok with this brand. Yeah, definitely have room to play in that space. I think the challenge is right now and where, you know, I'd like to push the brand to do is get more creative, right? And what I mean by that is user generated content, right? Video, vertical video. That's really what brands need these days, especially food and beverage, to, you know, show the product, show, you know, the interaction with families and people that just love it. And it helps, you know, give time back in their day. So, you know, there's definitely room to focus on, you know, other channels as well, but still it's mainly, Meta and Google.
What would your ideal UGC content look like? Like if you could have the perfect business doing the perfect ads with UGC content, what would that look like exactly for you?
That would look like, I guess, myself being a key player as like going back to that creative side, right? Like giving more creative direction when it comes to, you know, sourcing influencers and, you know, affiliates to, you know, or even just creators. They don't have to be influencers, but they can do really good creative. Just going out, sourcing them, doing the briefs, just making sure that our creative direction aligns with our goals. Quality assurance of that when the things come back for editing, things like that, just that attention to detail. And then once those things are delivered, just like, you know, can we use any tools that scale that with AI? Like, can we splice these videos ourselves after we pay, you know, influencers or affiliates? So I think that's going to, I'd like that to be more my position, with, you know, new brands out there, including Donovan Stitch, to be more of a strategic leader for creative and not just like the hands-on, hey, you know, let's do this and, strategy, you know, within these platforms. I think just to kind of go into a piece about platforms, you know, Meta and Google are really trying to make it more simple for the marketer, right, to in the business to focus on creative. And I think that's where we're heading. That's where we've been heading, right? We see, you know, growth marketers and chief marketing officers thinking more about like, how can we get really good creative at scale?
How do you come up with your ideas for creative then? I know, you know, it's, that's probably the hardest thing is figuring out what's actually worth testing to begin with. Yeah, everybody knows you got to do more. Creative is like the ultimate lever, but where do you draw your inspiration from? And what are maybe processes, methods you use to generate ideas?
Yeah, you know, I like to watch, well, for one, LinkedIn is a very big source of creative ideas because growth marketers like myself share them on LinkedIn. And then also, you know, in just email blasts, the newsletters that I'm signed up with that had to do with, you know, ad creative marketing. So, and then obviously the Meta has their own ad library. There's other sources of ad libraries to look into. So that's the foundational stuff, the tools that I use for inspiration. And also just documenting ideas, not necessarily from, you know, paid ads, but just like advertising in general. You know, watching TV or, you know, even just walking around outside thinking about ideas.
I'm glad earlier that you brought up AI because I do want to ask you basically how you're using it. Everybody's kind of got their own opinion on what's good, what's bad with it. Would love your take, how you're using it, what you think it's really good for, what you think it's really bad for.
Yeah, it's such a great question. You know, just we're in AI right now. Like everybody's talking about, it's not going to go away. The thing for me that it really helps with, and I know it does this for a lot of other advertisers, is the messaging, like your ad messaging. I mean, and you see it right now on the platforms, you know, I haven't seen it particularly in Google, but in Meta, you know, when you're writing your introduction messaging, they spin up some, you know, AI copy that pretty much matches, you know, and it's like three or four different versions. And you're like, oh, cool. Let's use those. Right. So it's already happening. Creative. Yeah, the messaging is really easy to do, right? You can use GPT, you can use, you know, whatever AI platforms with prompts to generate, you know, those kinds of ideas. So that's really good. Even the visual creative idea part, right? Just to kind of get designers and creative directors' brains just, you know, working like, oh, okay, that's a little bit of inspiration I could take on top of what I already have. The bad thing about AI, I think right now, is the generic parts of it, right? I think even when marketers are writing really solid prompts, not just basic prompts, but doing like really detailed prompting, I think a lot of times you still get that, you know, non-humanistic voice. It's going to change. It's already changing, right? How can they make it better? But I think brands should be careful on how they use that and still have copywriters that, you know, truly write everything for landing pages, entire website, you know, but, and then a big part of it is plagiarism. Like, you definitely want to make sure you're not plagiarizing. If you're writing blog content to, you know, produce organic traffic, right? Like, you want that to be solid because Google's going to say, no, we don't like that.
Last question for you here, then we'll let you go. Let's talk tools. If you had to look at the tool stack, the tools that you pay for, that you use regularly, specifically as a marketer, what are maybe two of those tools that you absolutely could not live without?
I would have to say now in 2024, Triple Whale, definitely a great tool for Shopify brands to see true attribution from their channels. That's a big struggle that brands have. So that's one. And then let's see, I would just say, you know, Google's tools in general, not just advertising, but what they're doing with Gemini and AI. I'm just really curious to see how that all, you know, plays into this year and just helping brands get to that next level of, you know, selling.